Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. We're taping this on Wednesday, October 9th. Another fun pod coming up for you. We have Matt Eumanns of Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSIN, and also Mr. Executive Director John Murray of the Westgate to share some plays from behind the counter and also break down the huge games we have coming up. Obviously, the Red River rivalry with Oklahoma and Texas, and then also at Death Valley in Baton Rouge, which is where game day will be. We have LSU hosting Florida. See if the Gators can stay perfect, although tough task. They're nearly 2 touchdown dogs to a team that is undefeated as well in the Tigers, who obviously have national championship aspirations. We had to tweak the timing of the pod, so apologize coming out a little later. In fact, we had to even get another producer to make it all work. Jackson, good to have you guys, have you back with us today.
Oh, it's great to be a part of something.
Good, good. And Bear and Steve are taping theirs with Travis. That's why we had to move producers around, because both our guests are on the West Coast. Whatever. It's Wednesday. We have plenty of time for you guys to download, rate, review, and listen, and then make your plays. All right. So just a reminder, we have plays on the internet as well. ESPN.com's chalk section. We do plays with Phil Steele and Preston Johnson. And every Thursday, our college plays come out. And Bill Connolly as well. So he's a new addition to ESPN as well. So that'll do it. Let's get right into the plays.
That guy is kryptonite on a stick.
He is not kryptonite. We want to avoid those people, but it's always good to get Bob Lee reference in here. Matt Eumanns back here on the podcast. How are you, my friend?
Bob Lee's a Hall of Famer. Hey, pretty good, man. College football season has been a roller coaster ride, and it was up last week, and hopefully it'll stay up again this week.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You talked about it. Usually you're like grinding out 5-2, 5-3 weeks or something like that, but it's been feast or famine, at least the first month of the season, you were saying the last time you were on the podcast.
That's exactly the way I would describe it, Doug. It's, you know, 2-5 one week, 5-2 the next week, which is typically not the way I go through seasons. I usually am very consistent. This year it's been very inconsistent and unpredictable. But, you know, I know a lot of other people having a tough time with college football. Not that that misery loves, you know, company theme, but it's just been a little bit of a, it's been a strange season. I think a little bit tougher to handicap, but I, you know, hopefully as the weeks go on, you start to figure some things out and get a little bit better. And I kind of feel like might be in a little better place with college football handicapping.
Well, let's talk about the things we've may have figured out, but I want to start with the game that, you know, it's almost an automatic play for you and for others, is the Red River rivalry. Obviously, Oklahoma's looked outstanding this year, but it's a double-digit line here. And Tom Herman, 13-3-1 ATS as an underdog in his coaching career. We talk about it a bunch. And he's covered 6 straight Red River rivalries. But the Sooners have looked dynamic a lot of this year. And I imagine you're on the dog here.
I am on the dog. And, you know, you throw out those Tom Herman trends, the things that jump out to me. He's 5-0 against the spread. He's a double-digit dog. He's got 10 straight-up wins in those situations. And, you know, I was on Texas last year in this game. Texas was a 7-point dog at the Cotton Bowl and led, if you recall, 48-24 in the fourth quarter against Kyler Murray. And I really thought the Longhorns were the much more physical team in that game and took the fight to the Sooners. And when I watched Oklahoma this year, it's very similar to what we saw last year with Lincoln Riley and Kyler Murray. Very finesse offense. It's kind of like a 7-on-7 passing drill against some bad defenses. He's Hurts. Jalen Hurts has got wide receivers open all over the field. They got the speed advantage. I think Texas has the more physical team, tougher team. There's no question Texas has faced a much tougher schedule up to this point. Oklahoma's kind of faced a, I won't say a weak schedule, but it's borderline weak. And I feel like the tests that Texas has been through, you know, including last week at West Virginia, but mainly going toe-to-toe with LSU and Austin when the Tigers' offense looked so impressive that night. But Sammy Ellinger hung in there and traded big shots with Joe Burrow. I think that's going to help Texas a lot in this game against Jalen Hurts and the Sooners. Ellinger's got 17 TD passes, two picks. All the offensive numbers are impressive on both sides. Jalen Hurts, 75.2% completions. You know, the Texas defensive backfield's been banged up and depleted. That's going to be a major concern here. But I still go back to last year's game when Texas, I liked Texas in that game last year. I did not think it was going to be a game that the Longhorns dominate the way they did. But the one thing about these two teams when you watch them is Texas is just a little tougher, more physical. It's kind of like the, you know, the finesse team against a more physical team. And I, a lot of times I'll take Texas and a more physical team in that type of matchup. But right now you're catching 11.5 points with Texas. We know, you know, we just started off talking about Tom Herman as a dog, how great he is. And don't forget the Westgate Superbook opened this number 3 in July. And that 8.5 points swing there often turns out to be phony inflation in a lot of cases. I think Oklahoma wins this game, but I also think it's going to be a game the Sooners win by like 3 to 6 points. Give me Tom Herman and 11.5. I think Sammy Ellinger is going to make this a hell of a game, just like he did against Joe Burrow and LSU.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that you mentioned the when we see that kind of movement in a line, it's usually because a team has really played poorly. Like, you know, we talked about right. Michigan at Wisconsin, kind of stuff like that. But Texas has only lost to LSU, and that was like a good loss, as you mentioned. I thought they looked pretty good, and we've seen with the Tigers, highest scoring team in the country and one of the top yards per game. Oklahoma, Kyler Murray was exceptional last year, but against good defenses, he did struggle at times. He threw had a costly turnover here. I'm curious as to how Hurts is going to perform. Like, as much as we love Lincoln Riley, as much as we like what Hurts has done this year, he's still a shaky quarterback from the Alabama days, and I think we're going to see it here in this game.
Well, you know, the media gets caught up in the Tua frenzy a lot of times. You know, the Tua hype is off the hook. And what I always say about Tua, and we're, you know, and we keep hearing the Dolphins are tanking for Tua, I think it's far from a certainty that Tua is going to be a really good NFL quarterback. I have a lot of questions about him. The tanking for Tua nonsense, I think, is comical. And all the hype about him, yes, you know, he's a good quarterback. He's a really good college quarterback. He's also got awesome weapons around him. And when you watch these Alabama games, Tua's got receivers open all over the field, wide open all over the field. Doug, you could probably complete a lot of those passes.
Yeah, maybe not. My days in the media flag football league, you know, back yeah. in the day.
What? And then what happened last year when Tua faced three good defenses that hit him in the mouth? LSU, Georgia, Clemson. He looked terrible, didn't he?
Yeah, you know? Well, he was battling an ankle injury, but yeah, no, he looked terrible at times.
Well, he got knocked out of the Georgia game. He got hit in the face in the LSU game, didn't play so well, and then was awful against Clemson. People tend to forget that stuff. Some people tend to forget that stuff a lot of times. Jalen Hurts, he's off to a phenomenal start. Like I said, 75.2% completions. He's going to face the real defenses. It's not a great Texas pass defense, obviously. They're young in the secondary, banged up back there. That's going to be a big concern. He's going to put up his numbers. He's going to hit for a lot of big plays. I just think this Texas team is tough enough to make this a street fight. And Sammy Ellinger is, I bet him at 40-1 odds to win the Heisman. And this is the type of game, if he wins it, Doug, you got to add him to the list of front runners, because if Texas wins this and Ellinger makes a bunch of big plays and an upset, a 40-1, I think all of a sudden becomes like 15-1. This guy's got a real shot, but we'll see. Hopefully it's like last year's game where Texas had a 24-point lead in the fourth quarter. I don't think so, but I like Texas and its chances to hang in and make this a tight game.
Let's head to the Big Ten, where Iowa only mustered 3 points a week ago against Michigan at the Big House. Not the best performance for the offense, but the Wolverines' D was probably, you know, as best as they've played all season, really. Here they're catching points at home, at Kinnick, at night, with a highly ranked team coming to town. We've seen this before, and this number's come down a little bit with Penn State was 5. Now it's about 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, I took Iowa +5 Monday night. I just really... I got to admit, I'm shocked that the number was 5. My number on this game is 1.5. And I know a lot of times bettors or fans get caught up in offense, and this Penn State offense has looked great against some pretty bad defenses. Penn State does have a speed advantage and so on. But, you know, a lot of people watched Iowa last week and said, Bob, man, this is ugly football. This is ridiculous. 3 points against Michigan. Bury this game tape. This set football back 50 years. What I saw in Iowa was, again, kind of like Texas is a really tough team. It's going to be tough in the underdog role. And last week, the Hawkeyes turned it over 4 times and still held Michigan to 10 points. And that's what impressed me the most. If you turn the ball over 4 times and hold a team to 10 on the road like that, very impressive. And I like Iowa's defense. This is another one of those physical versus finesse type of matchups. I think Iowa defense at home, primetime night game, I love the Hawkeyes' chances here. 2 years ago, Penn State rolled into Iowa City with a lot more offensive talent. Okay, it was Trace McSorley. It was Saquon Barkley. Penn State won that game essentially as time expired, 21-19. I like Iowa here. I think the Hawkeyes got a great shot to get the win. I took the 5 points, made the number 1.5 defense. Stanley is a very capable quarterback. Don't forget about that. You know, I know he didn't look good against Michigan defense last week, but Don Brown had a great defensive game plan. I know this Penn State defense is pretty good too. I just feel like the Penn State offense is maybe being overhyped a little bit against a weak early season schedule. And don't forget this, Doug. I know you're aware of this game. Penn State trailed Buffalo at the half. Mm-hmm. Penn State probably should have lost that game to Pitt. It's not like Penn State's been steamrolling opponents, I think equal to public perception up to this point. I think there's great value here in getting grabbing that 5 with Iowa. I think right now the best you can do is 4. Correct. But, you know, I would still play it. I like the Hawkeyes here, and I think they're going to give Penn State hell in this game.
I agree, and something we've learned, especially in the NFL, like you got to really strongly consider betting on a team that looked terrible the week before and try to fade, especially teams off 2 big wins. 2 big wins is the key. Like Bears last week was a great example off the Monday Nighter, and then also the home win over the Vikings. They were just ripe for that, just not enough in the tank. The other thing is you want to bet teams that just coming off a bad performance, and we saw that with Virginia Tech last week, right? They were such a play on spot, given how bad they looked for 10 days, to be catching 2 full touchdowns. Now they won outright and led 35-0. But I just think this is a good bounce-back spot for Iowa. And I don't trust James Franklin. He is choked in a lot of weird ways throughout the years. We know about some of the play calls against Ohio State a couple of years ago. So not that Kirk Ferentz is going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not that he's in the ranks of Saban and Sweeney, but they've got tricks up their sleeve, and they have opened up the offense with Stanley. I know his son's the coordinator, so there's no way I would play Penn State, and I'm on Iowa. If the line keeps dropping, I'd probably pass and wait for live. But I think the atmosphere at Kinnick will be a great one for the home team.
Yeah, I noticed on Daily Wager, I think yesterday, Preston Johnson was on Iowa, and I couldn't agree more with him on that play. And you know what, I made the number in that game. You made a good point. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. A lot of times in the NFL, you want to bet on an ugly dog that the public wants no part of that looked terrible the previous week. And if you look at week 5 in the NFL, a couple of the ugly dogs that nobody wanted a part of were the Broncos, which I played, and the Colts, which I did not. But how about the Colts defense? You know, holding the Chiefs to essentially 10 points in Kansas City. You know, nobody thought that was going to happen. The total in that game is 56. So, you know, a lot of times you are correct. You want to play on the team that looked terrible the previous week, and you can find point spread value in that team. And I think that's the case here with Iowa. And don't forget the Hawkeyes have the number 3 ranked defense in the country.
Correct. And it doesn't always work out that way. Like, I think,
right.
I mean, look, Chiefs dropped a touchdown that could have, then they settled for a field goal. And then also McCoy's fumble on the screen inside the 10 changes the game, but who cares? That's revisionist history, but you're also catching 11. They won outright. So sometimes you do want to fade a team that looked terrible. Sometimes you just kind of see the results, and that's what I'm on. I'm off the Huskers, my friend. I had to suffer through that game last week. They're just not a good football team. They're not polished, and they can't string together four full quarters. And I'm back in Minnesota here. Now, I realize the Gophers have had some lucky covers and some lucky wins, but I thought last week was a giant flat spot. I was actually on Illinois, and I think they would have covered if Britt Peters doesn't get hurt. They were certainly doing well in the first half. But with that being said, I think this is a good spot for Minnesota. I think Nebraska is just too many weak links.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pass on this game. I was talking about the roller coaster ride the college football's been. I think 3 weeks ago I had a phenomenal week, my best week of the year. 2 weeks ago I had probably my worst week of the year. And that was the week I took Nebraska and 17 against Ohio State. And the Huskers were out of that game in the first 5 minutes. And that's when I jumped off Nebraska and said, I'm done with this team this season because – obviously, they just don't have the offensive firepower that we thought Scott Frost's offense might have this year with Adrian Martinez. With a little more experience, and I thought the Huskers were going to be much better offensively and defensively. They're a mess, just in general. Nebraska, it's probably a psychological mess too, because last week, after you get pummeled on your home turf by Ohio State, how are you going to bounce back? You took a physical beating, a psychological beating. I wanted no part of Nebraska last week. I really don't want to play Nebraska this week. And Minnesota's been extremely fortunate. The schedule could not have been laid out any better for the Gophers. But they had to make fourth quarter comebacks, beat South Dakota State, Fresno State, Georgia Southern, right? And then caught Purdue when Purdue's top two offensive players went down on the same play. And then last week, Illinois is just, it's been a train wreck under Levy Smith. Whatever can go wrong goes wrong. So I'm not blown away by Minnesota, but I'm with you here. I'm totally off Nebraska, and this game's going to be a pass for me.
Yeah, I think Minnesota needs to run the ball for 300 yards. Just keep pounding it. I think they need to win this like 20-3. I really just think that's what this game needs to be.
Well, what's interesting is a couple weeks ago, Tanner Morgan was 21, the Gophers quarterback, 21 for 22 against. And he really made some strides and showed, I thought that he was going to be a guy who could move to six through the air. So I thought that, it was going to make Minnesota a more dangerous team. I don't know. This was a toss-out game for me. I looked at it a few different ways, but I'll have to pass. I think it's going to be I got better ways. I feel like I can spend my Saturday than sweating out 3.5 hours watching Nebraska, Minnesota.
Yeah, I guess I need to watch 3 more hours of Nebraska after last weekend. Man, that was painful. Okay, let's talk about a game.
That was sick.
We mentioned teams you want to bet on after just horrendous performances. I would say Nevada fits that mold, right?
Yeah.
After losing 54-3 on its home field to Hawaii 2 weeks ago. So here we go. You get the Wolfpack now. Last time we saw them, they were terrible. Now they're hosting San Jose State, laying a short number at 2.
Yeah, never in my life have I had two worse plays on the same night than I had 2 weeks ago when I had Nebraska against Ohio State and Nevada against Hawaii. I only got beat 102-10, I think, in those two games. But I'm going to come back with Nevada here because I'm stubborn. And also because I believe this line is a bargain. I laid 1.5 with the Wolfpack. I think it's mostly 2 at this point. Brent Brennan has done a great job at San Jose State. Now, the win at Arkansas, just improved play across the board by this team. So I don't put a whole lot into the number difference that you're seeing in this game as compared to the past 2 years. Last year, Nevada was a 14-point road favorite over San Jose. 2 years ago, Nevada was laying 17.5 in this game in Reno and won 59-14. San Jose has improved dramatically since that game 2 years ago, that 45-point loss. I knew this Nevada team was going to be down this year, and that comeback in the season opener against Purdue was a fluke. I don't think this team's very good. Malik Henry is going to take over as starting quarterback this week, and who knows if that's going to be a positive move or not, because I really thought Carson Strong, Christian Solano have played well at QB. Maybe Jay Norvell's making a move here he doesn't need to make. Maybe Malik Henry turns into a star and plays extremely well this week. I just feel like after a bye week, after a 54-3 beating, the Wolfpack are going to be hungry to get something done here. And you're getting some value in this number, laying less than a field goal. So I'm going to go ahead and roll with Nevada one more time and hopefully get back what I lost on that Hawaii fiasco 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think San Jose State's very shaky. They have they've had some weird games on these late night games I've been watching and betting, and I can't fault you.
Well, the most recent game was on, I think, on ESPN last week.
Yeah.
It might have been ESPNU or whatever. It's the New Mexico game, and the Lobos are one of the worst teams in the nation. Don't be fooled. Bob Davies got nothing left, absolutely nothing. That New Mexico team's a disaster. So I, you know, just the fact San Jose State won that game by, what, 9 points or something?
Yeah, they
nothing
let him.
Really too impressive to come out of that.
Right, they let him come in at the end, and, yeah, I'm right there with you. A game I'm going to be on with trepidation is going to be a teaser with Virginia. So I really like the Hoos, and I think coming off that loss in Notre Dame, again, another team off a bye, and there was a game they easily could have won, let alone covered 11 points.
Just all right.
Everything went.
You keep bringing up sore spots for me. When I talked about that bad week I had 2 weeks ago. I had Virginia, too, catching, I think, 11.5. And what do you have? Basically two strip sacks and 50-yard fumble returns for touchdowns.
Right.
Virginia loses by 15. Yeah, I mean, that was – I thought the Cavs played pretty well in that game, but you just had two big plays that went against you and a little bit of bad luck. And, if, Doug, I know you've studied this game. The Cavs are on a point spread slide here. Well, they failed to cover 4 in a row. Is that right?
That's a good question. So I'm looking it up right now. Well, they pushed against Florida State, and then they've lost 2 in a row since. So that was a 7. That was a closing number of 7 when they were favored. Then they were laying 27 against Old Dom and barely covered. I mean, obviously that was the big flat spot that we talked about, the sandwich spot between FSU and Notre Dame. But I just like this Virginia team. And this Miami team, look, they're going to come out and play better than they were, down 28-0 to Virginia Tech. And they have a quarterback switch as well. Nikosi Perry is going to go for the injured Jaren Williams. And he obviously played a lot better. But some of that was just prevent defense and all that nonsense. I'm going to grab the 8 in a teaser here. I can't remember the last time I teased a college game. But with a low total, I think you can justify it. The total is only 44. So I'm going to take the +8 here and actually tease it to Minnesota because I don't think Nebraska is going to be able to win that game.
All right. I'm not going to argue with that. I have not played a college teaser probably in about 2 years, but I think Virginia catching 8 and Minnesota just went straight up is a reasonable bet. So
yeah, Minnesota 1.5, but yeah, though I misspoke, yeah. So it'd be 1.5. But yeah, that's what I'm on. I know you're what do you make of this LSU Florida game? I like the Tigers a lot. I've been waiting for this line. I was hoping it'd be like 9.5, 10 after Florida beat Auburn and that big win. But I'm still going to lay it just because they have the offense to cover this kind of number. And we've seen it over the years, right? So one game that comes to mind is a couple years ago when Auburn beat Alabama at home and then had to play Georgia in the SEC championship game the next week. And they just didn't have enough in the tank. I mean, at the end of Georgia ended up pulling away. And I just think it's going to – I don't think Florida has the energy and the emotion to hang in for 4 quarters against Auburn – and then the next week, go to Baton Rouge and outlast the Tigers for 4 quarters. I just think it's asking too much because of the schedule.
Yeah, I think this is the most fascinating game on the card to handicap. Last week, probably my favorite play, or second favorite play at the least, was Auburn, Florida, under the total of 48.5. I couldn't believe the total was that high. And, Doug, you know I'm not a totals player.
Right.
I was stunned by that. I thought the total in that game should be like 41. And, you know, it ended up landing on 37 after a high-scoring first half with some fluke plays. I just felt like it was going to be dominated by the defenses. And, you know, you also had a freshman quarterback in Bo Nix going into the swamp, and I thought that was going to be ugly. And it was even uglier than I expected it was might be. In this game, you have Florida coming off a huge win, which is not – that doesn't set up as a positive spot for the Gators here. Going up against an LSU team that had a pretty easy time of it last week against Utah State. And LSU scored more points in the first 5 games than any team in SEC history. So, you know, after that Texas game, I really changed the way I I thought about LSU, and I'm sure a lot of people did too. You're going to spread the field. They're really going to throw the ball. They're not going to be conservative, and they got the weapons. LSU's always had weapons in the past and never used them. And this team's totally different. I was just skeptical when the season started. You know, we heard a lot about the spread passing attack, and they're going to open it up, and, you know, Joe Burrow's going to put up big numbers. I was skeptical, you know, until I actually – it's one of those things you have to see it to believe it, right? So, yeah, I believe it now with LSU, and this team is explosive, and it's a much better spot for LSU. You know, the spot means a lot to me in this one because – I think it's be hard for the Gators to, you know, play their A game in back-to-back weeks. And when LSU gets a lead here, Florida just doesn't have the offense to complete catch-up. And I do think it's going to be a double-digit LSU win. It's not a game I bet yet. I was just like you. You know, I talked about this with Paul Stone Saturday night. We were at the Westgate Superbook watching games. And you had Paul and his Texas twang on your podcast a couple weeks ago. He makes his own numbers. I respect his numbers. And he had this number basically right where it came out, you know, 13, 14 points. And I was hoping it was going to open a little bit lower, but it did not. And so I don't think you're getting a bargain with the price, but I do think LSU is going to win the game by double digits.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that stood out to me is how strong LSU's defense is. We've talked so much about the offense, and you're right. To your point, it's been lip service all these years, and finally it's actually coming to fruition. But the defense is kind of getting dismissed. I mean, they've got playmakers, and they're really good. And Texas got to them a little bit, but I don't think the Gators are that strong on all. This comes down to a game that I think will be relatively close at halftime and pulled away because of this, the empty the tank. And Ohio State overmatched Michigan State. I thought it would be a blowout from the start. I thought it was a mismatch. This one will be close, I think, for the most of the first half.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, when LSU opens up a lead, it's going to be tough for Florida to play catch-up. And you're right, that LSU defense is pretty good, and that's what I think really impressed me, too, about – and I thought he was capable of it. I'm one of the biggest fans there is of Sammy Bull Ellinger at Texas. Just, you know, the way he runs the ball, the way he can make plays in the passing game. Don't forget, Texas got stonewalled at the goal line by the LSU defense. Also, Longhorns dropped a touchdown pass. Ellinger went toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow. He really kind of tore up this LSU defense. I don't think Florida is capable of that at all. And that's another reason why I like Sammy Ellinger to put some points up on Oklahoma. You know, he did it against a pretty good LSU defense, and he could have put, you know, could have put more points on the board. I'm really impressed by this LSU team, and I can't wait. LSU is going to win this game. We get some big games coming up in the SEC, man, involving LSU.
Yeah, no, it should be fun, man. It should be a good one. Do you have any other plays you like?
I'll give you one more. I'll go Mountain West. I've got a lot of games on my radar this week, and I'll give you the fourth play after Iowa, Texas, and Nevada will be Fresno. I took four early in the week here. You're catching Air Force in a tough spot off last week's Navy game. And basically what this boils down to is I like this Fresno team. You know, I think the last time I was on your podcast, I was taking Fresno. One of the last times.
Minnesota, right?
Fresno plus 3.5 against Minnesota. And that game went to overtime. Fresno lost by 3. I think that number closed 3 at a lot of spots. But you know, that's the only blemish, if you call it that, and I'm not going to call it that, on Jeff Tedford's underdog record at Fresno State, 9-0-1 against the spread as a dog, and that one push was that Minnesota game. If you got the 3.5, obviously, that's 10-0. Jeff Tedford, 24-8 straight up, 27-2 against the spread at Fresno. I like the way this team's playing. I've watched the Bulldogs a few times. I think, you know, they're plenty physical, and they're improving offensively. They lost some big-time weapons off last year's team, you know, and Marcus McMarion, the quarterback, Keyshawn Johnson. I wondered how good they were going to be offensively this year, and then they went in, you know, to the L.A. Coliseum and really played USC tough. And I think they're getting better offensively, really tough defensively, and catching Air Force in, you know, not so – good spot here off a rivalry game, and combine that with Tedford's record here as an underdog, give me the 3.5 or 4 points with Fresno.
I don't know what to make of Air Force. I'll never understand the fourth down call a couple weeks ago against San Jose State. I don't think I can get off the mat. Get off the mat and bet a game involving them again. I'm just dumbfounded still. We've talked about it on this podcast before, last week with I think it was ER we talked about it, or Murray, I can't remember, but man, that was one for the ages.
I mean, it's really difficult if you backed Air Force in that game and got burned so badly on that play call and what happened at the end of that game against San Jose to come back and, you know, play Air Force again. It's I had the same psychological hurdle to get over with Northwestern, you know, because of that Northwestern Stanford game. And the same thing happened to me with Northwestern and Ohio State like 5 years ago. You see that clip on the SVP show. I was on both those Northwestern bad beats. Last week, I actually liked Northwestern getting 7.5 against Nebraska. But it was really tough for me to play it because I've been burned by Nebraska so many times. I think it's going to be tough for some people to come back, you know, with Air Force after that fiasco a couple of weeks ago. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to you got to get over it. You got to get over that mental hurdle. You got to make plays you're uncomfortable with sometimes. And, you know, well, the only example I guess I could give you, the most recent example, is the Broncos. In the NFL, I had been burned by the Broncos the previous 2 weeks, but I loved them last week. I was like, I don't know if I can make this play again. And I went ahead and did it, and it paid off. So sometimes you just have to push through.
How about this? Stanford Steve, obviously, he and the Bear have their own podcast, and also he does picks for a column. He had a Dateline
Daily. I love their podcast. Stanford Steve and the Bear do a great podcast.
Daily Wager, Friday night, back-to-back, he's had some best bets. How about these bad beats? He had Air Force in that one for Friday night. And then last week he had the over, 55.5 in Maryland Rutgers. And
48-7, right?
48-7 with 6 minutes to go in the third. And then Rutgers misses a chip shot, 22-yarder. Laces were in, I believe, on that one. And then also Maryland returns the favor, first and goal on the 7, bobbled shotgun snap. And then you have stupid 2-run plays, and then they miss a chip shot as well. And it stays 55 for the final 21 minutes.
Yeah, that's a tough one to take. You know, those guys, Stanford Steve and the Bear, we have them on our shows on BSN a lot, and you're going to be on, I assume, a lot more in the NBA season if you can stay up late. And you better stay up late because I wake up early for your podcast. So these guys, Stanford Steve and the Bear, really know football and really know the betting aspect of it. And that's one of the few podcasts I do listen to. I don't have a lot of time to listen to them, but to podcasts, but that's one I try to make time to listen to each week because those guys, you can pick up a lot on college football from listening to both of those guys. And I know the Bear got off to a rough start, but you also know a good handicapper like that's going to bounce back and start to win. So that's when, you know, when you want to jump on him, and he has started to win. Yeah, you know, Stanford Steve's going to bounce back. Man, that is just a sick beat on that total.
Yeah, we had a good week, chuckle but, about it. It's it's pretty. It happens. Like we've all had them. But one of the game I wanted to run by you. I'm going to grab the points with South Carolina here, 24.5. I've been on Georgia a couple times. They had a lucky cover last week against Tennessee on the road in Knoxville. Now, look, I think they're a great team, the Bulldogs, but I also think their offensive line play, there's been a lot of times in short yardage, whether it's Vandy and some others, where they've just, I feel like this team's on cruise control a little bit, and I think South Carolina can make this a game. Coming off a bye, we saw that they can hang with Alabama. I thought, you know, they got lucky on one of the touchdown passes early, but I think plus 24.5, I think they're going to lose this by 14 or so. I like the Gamecocks here.
Yeah, that's fair. One thing about Georgia, it just doesn't have a quick strike, big play offense a lot of times. You know, and I took the points with Notre Dame against Georgia that week, and I was more than happy with Kirby Smart's conservative game plan. You know, I really thought that the Georgia was going to open it up more offensively. And Bulldogs are very conservative in that game against Notre Dame, which is fine with me. You know, help the Irish get inside that number. You see this a lot with Georgia. The Vanderbilt game, Doug, which I believe you laid the points against Vandy early in the season. Georgia was not that impressive offensively in that game and needed a late score, you know, to cover. And that's a game Georgia should have put up, you know, 45-plus points.
They got stuffed on 4th-and-1 like 3 times.
Yeah.
And so that happened last week against Tennessee as well. For me, at the end of the first half, Georgia was awesome. Had the ball with like a minute to go and like drove in like six plays and threw a touchdown. Like Jake Fromm was amazing. He's unflappable, kind of just that calm demeanor, and it was great. But they don't do that at any other point in the game, and it's really maddening when you if you're trying to lay a big number with them. So I got to grab the points here with South Carolina.
Yeah, Ryan Helinski's played pretty well. I think South Carolina. Gamecocks will put up a fight here. So I have not played that yet, but you gave me something to think about there. So I'm gonna look at that a little bit closer this week. That might be a big dog that's worth playing. I actually think Tennessee could be a live dog this week, but I need to look into that game a little bit more. You want to talk about bad beats, and I really don't want to talk about them at length, but Tennessee last week, that was kind of a tough one to take, considering you have first and goal at the end. Ran the ball all the way down the field and passed it four times, and Kirby Smart blitzes on fourth down. Tennessee gets the cover after the – or Georgia gets the cover after the fumble return. I think the UNLV beat last week was one of the worst of the season, and I took the 24 with UNLV. I don't know how many people stayed up late to watch that Boise State game. But quickly, if you didn't see it, Boise scores about 5 minutes to go to go up 31-7. UNLV scores with, I want to say, a minute and a half to go to make it 31-13, and the Rebels miss the extra point kick.
Second miss PAT of the second half.
Yeah. And then they try an onside kick. Boise picks it up, runs it back inside the five-yard line. You got a minute 7 on the clock. Aaron Taylor is calling the game for CBS Sports Network, and he says, just take a knee, run out the clock. What's Boise do? They hand it off, and the guy just walks into the end zone. No resistance from the Rebels' defense, and Boise wins by 25.
It was an all-timer, for sure. Just given the return of the onside. The onside usually fall on it. The guy had returned it for like 35, 40 yards. No, that was an all-timer, my man. It was an all-timer. All right, dude. Well, unless you got another play for the people, I think we've, run through our games.
No, that's it for now. I've got I got a lot more games on the radar, and I'll look at later this week. But as of a very early Wednesday morning, that's all I've got so far, Doug. Have a winning week, man. I appreciate the time on the podcast, and catch up with you soon.
You got it, my man. And you obviously go back to bed and get your sleep. We appreciate you staying, getting up early for us.
All right, you bet. Thanks.
Kicking is for losers.
Boy, was it. However, Penn State did get the win. Remarkable, remarkable James Franklin punt. I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't know. James Franklin's a hard guy to get a handle on because he punts and he kicks field goals, but he's also like the first guy to run up the score, too. So he's a tough guy to get a handle on.
4th and 5 on the Purdue 36-yard line.
Yeah.
36-yard line, he punts.
4th and less than 10 on the other team, on the other side of the field, should be an automatic go for it. I mean, let alone at the 36. It's not even at the 36. It's not even a question.
And it's Purdue, and it's a bad deal. Like, what do you? Yeah. And then he ended up. It was a touchback, so they gained 16 yards of field position.
Nice net of 16 yards. That's a lot better than going forward on a 4th and 5. Those 4th and 5s are so hard to convert, DK.
So I
that's ridiculous, man.
I immediately said, well, I know what I'm starting the podcast with Murray on Wednesday with.
Yeah, James, we've seen some sharp money come in on James Franklin for this week's game. We'll get into that later.
Really?
But yeah, he's another one of these guys too that just I can't get a handle on him. He'll run up the score on you though. We've seen him do that, and I know a lot of books in town got beat up on the Penn State first half on Saturday. Mm. But what did that game land? That game landed 28, right?
Correct.
Because we had a group that actually laid 28.5 here. So that was not a great result for us, but we didn't get beat up on that game.
And they clobbered him the first half, right? They were up. Mm-hmm. I think the second half was a push. So I think they were up.
Yeah, they really didn't do anything in the second half. It was pretty lucky for us to even get that game to land 28 was good for us.
So let's talk about it. Well, you mentioned it because I like Iowa. Humans likes Iowa. A lot of us like Iowa. You said you're taking a sharp bet on Penn State here.
Yeah, well, there's money both ways on this game. And
okay,
so we had one guy that I do respect did lay 3.5 on, looks like, Monday morning here. So now there has been money that's come in on Iowa as well. So I don't think this shapes up to be a particularly big decision. There were some sharp guys that took 5, that took 4.5. And then it got down to 3.5, and this guy laid 3.5, and then went to 4. Now we're back to 3.5. So there's a lot of money in this pool so far. It's one of the better right games of the week so far in college football.
Gotcha. Anything else? What other games? Feed the public. We're getting right into
you
it.
Want
I like
the,
it.
You want to just jump right into this whole thing? Let's start. We'll go chronologically. We've got a game on a big matchup Thursday night, Louisiana Monroe at Texas State. Saw a sharp guy laid 3 on Louisiana Monroe. Right now they're -3.5. Actually, two groups came in on this one. So keep an eye on UL Monroe Thursday night as you're watching baseball and the big Giants-Patriots game.
That game, by the way, just numerous injuries. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. Have you taken any sharp play on this Colorado game?
Nobody that I would classify as sharp.
Night. That's Friday night.
That's
because
Friday night game.
So many injuries with the Buffs.
Now, one game that has moved up a little bit on Friday is Miami. Miami's moved from -1.5 to -2.5. They're at home against Virginia. Just a terrible loss for Miami on Saturday to Virginia Tech. And really, it's kind of flown under the radar. Everybody's been criticizing Willie Taggart, criticizing Justin Fuente, Chip Kelly. Somehow, Miami, no one's really criticizing them. Very, very disastrous season, I would say, for the Hurricanes.
You know, I talked about it with humans. I like Virginia in a teaser. When's the last college teaser you played?
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while. I mean, the one thing I would not recommend doing a college football teaser, but if you had to, you're picking a good game. At least you're going through 3-7, and you've got a very low total there of 44.
That's exactly what
but,
I said.
Yeah, and we did. I will tell you this. We did see some sharp money come in on the under in that game. Totals moved from 45 to 44 in that game. So there are some things that would work in your favor there if you were looking to tease the Cavaliers, but I don't think you should do it. I think you should do something else with your money.
Well, I'm doing it. I like it.
All right. Well, hey, I'm here to give advice. I can't make you do anything.
No, I think all the reasons this feels like the key numbers and the low total, and I lean under if I had to in that one. So yeah, I think this Miami team has been shaky all year. We missed a good, Virginia Tech was like the perfect play last week, just coming off an embarrassing performance, 10 days.
Yeah, it was.
Getting 14 against a team that can't really score that much.
And I didn't see it coming at all. I got to tell you the truth. I really didn't. So hats off to Fuente, but he needed that win. That whole staff, they needed a W badly, and they got a big one. They almost blew that game too.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I would be all over Virginia if they did.
Yeah, that was one of the more entertaining games of the week was Virginia Tech. But I will say this too for UVA. I mean, it was just an extraordinarily well coached football team. Bronco Mendenhall, one of the best coaches in the ACC, probably right there behind Dabo Swinney in the ACC.
All right, that is interesting. So you've taken some Miami sharp play. What else?
Yeah, let's go to Saturday. There's a whole bunch of them on Saturday. How about Toledo? This guy's laid 24.5. They're up to 26.5. They're on the road against Bowling Green. Here's one that's moved a lot. UAB, they're on the road against Texas San Antonio. These guys laid 9.5. They laid 10.5. Right now, UAB is laying 12.5. That game Saturday afternoon. Big move on that one. If you're looking for an underdog play, South Carolina +25. That number's down to 24.5 now. That's an interesting one. You know, Georgia really had no business covering against Tennessee last week. And I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, we just talked about the game. I like the Gamecocks already.
Another dog, a homer dog from yours truly, West Virginia. These guys took 10.5. This game's in Morgantown. I thought this number was higher than I thought it was going to be when it first came out. I was surprised by how high that spread was. I know that Iowa State is having a good season, but West Virginia really played Texas pretty well last Saturday. Austin Kendall had a couple of egregious turnovers in the fourth quarter of that game that led to Texas touchdowns that made the final score look a little bit more one-sided than I thought it was. So that's a dog. How about another Big 12 dog? Texas Tech. These guys took 11 and 10 with the Red Raiders. They're at Baylor. Matt Rhule is doing one of the best jobs in college football this season. He's done an unbelievable job in Waco. To think where that program was when he took over with all the sanctions there. But this group came in and played the Red Raiders against Baylor.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Texas Tech. Texas Tech has been a wonky team. I saw someone who works here who really liked Ogie State minus the points last week, and I was like, I don't know about that one. They're ripe. They shouldn't be laying that many points on the road.
And I didn't think Texas Tech would get the outright win, but they did. But that was after scoring just 30 points combined the previous two games. And those were both on the road against teams that have bad defenses, Oklahoma and Arizona. So that was questionable. Put up 45 here against the Pokes, but now they're back on the road in Waco. So that's a it's an aggressive play, but I certainly wouldn't lay the lumber with Baylor. What else you got?
I'll give you two more sharp plays we saw, and then I think we could talk about the biggest games of the week. San Diego State, -3.5, the late game Saturday, one of the late games Saturday. They're -3.5 at home against Wyoming. And then the latest game Saturday, this guy's took Arizona +7. They're at home against Washington. Chris Peterson versus Kevin Sumlin, that is an ugly coaching matchup. I can't believe what's happened to Chris Peterson this season. I used to think of him, I used to think very highly of Chris Peterson. I never thought highly of Kevin Sumlin. I used to think highly of Chris Peterson, and it's hard to at this point.
Well, let's talk about that for a sec. So, that was like a 12-hour game at home against Cal, right? And that was Cal with their quarterback. And I excuse that loss. I mean, you would think that Cal defense is pretty good, man.
Well, it's the best defense in the Pac-12.
Yeah, so I was okay with that just given the situation. And all week, I was like looking at the Stanford line. I'm like, man, this is a big line for, you know, this doesn't feel right. And then I guess Peterson was really worried all week. So it was a total flat spot, all that stuff. And sure enough, they just got manhandled. And this is what's happening. This is what happens. This is why these dogs are really good to sometimes take. Or, I mean, they're good to take a lot, but one of the reasons sometimes is just what it takes to go undefeated throughout an entire season. We hear this with UCF. If they played, it's not so much that they couldn't beat some of these teams in a one-game situation, but to go week in and week out and suffer injuries and the emotional and just physical toll each week takes in a regular Power Five, that's what the naysayers to UCF were saying. It wasn't like a one-game situation. So what it takes to kind of just get wins every week is really tough. And that's you're catching a Stanford team that basically did not empty the bucket in a couple games and were fresh, facing a Washington team that just has to keep winning. And there's no excuse. They should have won. But I get why these upsets happen. It makes sense.
What did you think of David Shaw's field goal decisions on Saturday? It's so hard to make fun of him when he wins such a great win for Stanford on Saturday. But if you think I didn't see those field goals, you're incorrect. I saw them, and I made note of them, and I'd like to make fun of them. But I am impressed with Stanford getting that win on Saturday. And somebody told me they thought that David Shaw might be the second best coach in the Pac-12 behind Mike Leach, and I don't know that I can argue with that right now. I mean, my initial reaction was like, oh, come on, that's impossible. And then I started to like think about all the coaches in the Pac-12. Like, I don't think much of Mario Cristobal at Oregon. Chris Peterson, questionable season.
Chip Kelly just hasn't done it in college. Awful.
That's true. Herm, but Chip Kelly's doing a terrible job. Clay Helton, Kelly?
I mean, look what he got. Look what he was dealt. I mean, okay, so you see the Cal backup quarterback, Monster. That's what was pre-Chip Kelly. That's what he was coming into at UCLA. And it's going to take some time. I still think Chip's an awesome coach. Now, has the game caught up to him a little bit and he has yet to evolve? Yeah.
So, well, that's what it looks like to me is exactly that. And you could say the same thing about Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. But, I mean, the coach to watch in the Pac-12 at this point, probably you'd have to probably say Justin Wilcox at Cal.
There you go.
He's doing a good job
but David
there.
Shaw, he's conservative and way, like, awful and conservative at times. But
I would say calling him conservative is the biggest understatement ever on this show. But yes, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a results business, and he's getting results there. So, yeah, I'd say Shaw but keep an eye on Justin Wilcox, really young, up-and-coming coach. He's really doing a good job at Berkeley.
No doubt. I just think as much as we want to criticize some decisions here and there, I think what Shaw has done with Stanford is exceptional. I think he's done a wonderful job.
I don't disagree. I mean, his overall body of work is very impressive. You want to go to the big ones?
Yeah.
I heard that they changed is this true? They changed the Red River Shootout name to the Red River Rivalry?
I thought it's always been the Red River Rivalry.
I thought it was the Red River Shootout. Did I just make that up or something?
No. I've heard both. But like my point is, I don't think Red River Rivalry is a new thing. I think it's always been tomato for like a decade.
I think I was given fake news. I was told that they they changed it from Red River Shootout to be more PC, and I laughed at that. So I might have been – I didn't know. I guess I've just always called it the Red River Shootout. I didn't know. But either way, I wanted to talk about the game a little bit because we have seen sharp money both ways in this one. So we had kind of competing groups here. One guy laid 11 with the Sooners. Another guy took 11.5 with Texas. So there's sharp money both sides here. The book will probably end up just wanting a Texas outright win because I know what's going to happen is every parlay on Saturday is going to start with Oklahoma money line. And that's exactly what happened last year. Every parlay started with the Sooners on the money line. Texas wins the game. And by noon, we were up this ridiculous number and just hoping we wouldn't give it all back the rest of the day. So I got a feeling it's not just because they're the perfect number, like the 11.5 point favorite that people love to throw into their money line parlays. It's also because so many of the other high profile games that we're going to get into are also like 10, 11 point favorites, 13 point favorites. It's shaping up to be a really big money line parlay day for the favorites for the public.
Interesting. We talked about teasers. I like rarely do money line parlays in college, and I think it's for the same reasons. The value.
Well, I just know, like look at the other big game, LSU. LSU is going to be in every money line parlay this week. LSU laying 13.5 against Florida. Notre Dame, they're laying 11 against USC. That's another one. That'll be in all the money line parlays. Actually, that number's down to 10.5, pardon me. But anyway, they'll still be in every money line parlay. I think Utah, Alabama will certainly be included in a lot of these parlays. We're going to need Wisconsin is another one. They're going to be in all the parlays. We're going to need one of these dogs to knock out all these parlays because there's going to be a ton of this stuff this week.
What, any sharp action on that LSU-Florida game?
No, I wouldn't say that anything I've seen there is sharp. That number has stayed pretty consistently right in that neighborhood. I mean, we actually haven't moved off 13.5 here at the Superbook at all, and it's been right around there the rest of the state throughout the week, and really nothing to report there. There was one sharp guy did play over 55 in that game. Hmm. But as far as the side action, there's nothing to report.
That's funny. I think the Gators are going to have a tough time scoring. I like first half under. I think Florida's D is going to run out of juice, just given how much it took out of him last week. But I think first half's going to be a tight game.
Tough spot for Florida. Big win last week against Auburn. Now they got to go on the road in Baton Rouge. And this is such a different LSU team. It's interesting to see an LSU team that can actually throw the ball down the field with Joe Burrow. I think that's something to watch on Saturday. Is the all the major Heisman Trophy candidates have pretty high profile games. If you look at Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow, they all have pretty high profile games this weekend.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
So, this is a week there where we could – I think the Heisman is going to come down to those three guys. No disrespect to Justin Fields or Jonathan Taylor, but I think those three guys are pretty clearly ahead of the field at this point, and they've all got big games. And then, of course, Alabama plays LSU later in the season. That's a game that could certainly also decide the Heisman Trophy.
Interesting stuff. That's all I got. I mean, look, you know, there's a few plays I went with humans, talked with humans about. I like the Gophers against Nebraska just because I'm so sick of betting on Nebraska. I have to start betting against them.
What did humans – I mean, I can listen to the show, of course, but any –
He's done betting on Nebraska. He gave up after the Ohio State game. He backed up against that, and then he doesn't –
Matt's an emotional guy. I remember last year he lost a couple bets on the Giants. He's like, I'm never betting on the Giants again. I'm like, oh, stop it. Yes, you will.
Well, I swore off the Huskers last week on Twitter. I even made a Twitter official.
Really? You made a Twitter official. You know, if you get a good number on a team, you can't worry about what happened the last few weeks, last season. You got to go for it. But, yeah, Nebraska is a team. It's so disappointing this year. I expected so much out of the Cornhuskers. I've been very disappointed with them and Scott Frost. And it's weird to me when you look at how well they were playing at the end of last year. I can't find any logical reason why it hasn't carried over to this season, but clearly it has not.
No, it is not. It is not.
No. No.
All right, my friend, I think that does it for us, and we're going to have a nice lengthy discussion in the NFL tomorrow. A lot of interesting games to get through. You have a nice sizable lead in the bankroll bonanza. I got half distracted, half greedy, and didn't play it back, so I got burned on that one. Not too bad.
What are you looking at this week? I got to do the show with Mr. Musburger this afternoon. The pressure's on now because we're feeding him a winner almost every week. So now, you know, he expects it. We're 4-1 after last week's Denver pick came in.
Yeah, that was a solid play. We laughed with Ewan's, just you got to back ugly teams. Sometimes the NFL, the teams that look the worst I really hate this card. I had one play last week on the card for ESPN.com's chalk section, and that was the old Arizona Cardinals catching three, and they came through. Too bad I didn't do it in the bonanza.
Well, I'll tell you, one I'm looking at right now is Jacksonville, because we're seeing some reverse line movement there where everybody's betting on New Orleans and the numbers shifting to Jacksonville becoming favored. So keep an eye on the Jaguars. They're at home Sunday morning against New Orleans. New Orleans, at some point, you got to think they're going to run out of steam here. You know, they've had three very impressive wins without Drew Brees. But I can tell you right now, everybody's betting the Saints. Ticket counts like almost 10-1 on the Saints, and the number shifting towards Jacksonville being favored. So looking at maybe Jacksonville as a play for Brent Sunday morning.
Let me ask you this. Do we know if Davante Adams is playing?
I don't know that that's official yet. The other one I'm looking at is the Jets because of some of the offensive line problems.
That's a great number. I would grab that right now. That play is solid.
Dallas has some real issues on that offensive line, and we saw that they're just not the same team. I mean, I know everybody talks about Dak Prescott. They talk about Ezekiel Elliott, but look what happened when they didn't have Tyron Smith in there leading the way for them on Sunday.
Now, a couple things went against them, like coin flip, like calls and bounces. I mean, you know, Amari Cooper was hit in the hands, and then it went off his chest, and then it's a pick. Otherwise, we're looking at a close game. There was a bogus holding call on the receiver that should have been a touchdown for the Cowboy. So the game wasn't as one-sided as you would think. But in this case, I just think the Jets catching 7.5. I mean, it's a good play. I'm sorry. I would take 7.5 in Dallas. It's at the MetLife. So, like, I don't really get this line at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a number where the public is going to be all over Dallas no matter what you put up.
Luke Falk was the worst. Like, he was Peterman style.
Yeah, he was bad. I mean,
he wasn't throwing interceptions like Peterman, but he couldn't get first downs.
One of my concerns is I think so little of Adam Gase. But of course, I also think very little of Jason Garrett.
There you go.
So maybe that'll work out for me. But I'll keep you posted, and I'll certainly let you know tomorrow on the NFL show what we gave to Brent.
Yeah, that New England line up to 17. That's I was itching to
I
bet
can't,
them. I was itching to I, take I, the Giants, but all these injuries got me off them.
I can't give him the Thursday game because then he'd have to put in his whole card on Thursday. I can't. I when I do it, I don't even look at the Thursday game.
I think Jets are your play.
Yeah, Jets. I'm kind of between Jets and Jacksonville, so I'm going to have to go meditate on it, really think about it.
What are you asking me, man? You're the director. You're the one on fire in the bonanza.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been on fire in the NFL. I'm not capable of that. Maybe string together a few wins in a row, but certainly never on fire.
Sounds good. All right, my friend. I think we're done.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. And we just had a guy bet $10 on the Redskins to win the Super Bowl to win $100,000. Now that's funny.
What are the
odds?
I guess
10,000 to 1. I mean 10 to win 100,000.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So you $10 to win 100,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the highest odds you're offering, 10,000 to 1?
I don't know what the Dolphins are. I'd have to look it up. I never even look at like the really, really high teams, what Ed puts them to. I mean, it's such an absolute waste of money.
There's good value because they're favored this weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, with a W this week, they might get right back into the mix for the Super Bowl. There's no doubt.
10,000 to 1 odds. That's just ridiculous.
It's silly, but it's fun. It's fun. Come on. But, yeah, we'll talk a bit more about the NFL tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll get into this big Redskins-Dolphins game tomorrow.
All right, my friend. We'll get
we'll
to
do
it tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Sleep on it. Yeah, sleep on it. I'm curious
sir.
To see who you're going to give to Mr. Musburger.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, be well.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
All right, thanks to Mr. Executive Director John Murray. Fun talk there, going through all the games and even a little NFL, a little bonus there. And thanks to Matt Humans as well. Obviously, the NFL podcast is every Thursday, so go check that out. We go through almost all the games and then also the baby bankroll bonanza where you have imaginary bankroll and we make plays. And I've been ice cold to start, although not too bad, but yeah, cold. What'd you think, Jackson? Did you enjoy the pod?
I had a nice time.
All right, good.
Nice time.
Yeah, a lot of
settled in well.
Yeah, good. A lot of our old friends and things like that. Okay, so we're going to keep it moving. We're going to wrap things up tomorrow. We'll do NFL, and good luck to everyone this weekend.